Well, good day, everyone. It's good to be with you again. And this Sunday, I'd like to continue on looking at the early church in Acts chapter 2. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the beginning of the chapter where we read about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and how essential it was for the Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the early church. As one continues to read on in Acts about the early church, we also see the fullness of the Holy Spirit is so vital to the church as a whole. Last week, after looking at the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 believers, we noticed a great commotion was caused and a huge crowd gathered of thousands, and how Peter seized that opportunity to address the large crowd. He took them from where they were into having an encounter with Jesus. Peter preached a powerful message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 accepted Jesus into their lives that day. In fact, we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. These new believers did not hide their faith, but they made it public. They made a public declaration of that faith, that they were going to follow Jesus from that day on. They were baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. Think about it back in that day. Think about the church. Before the day of Pentecost, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the church was 120 believers, and they were gathered in the upper room, sort of secretly, praying and waiting for God to move. Now, a day later, the church is over 3,000 people. In one day, the church grew by more people than those living in Cache Creek and Ashcroft combined. How would these 120 believers deal with such a huge influx of new believers? The Christians established four priorities and then devoted themselves to those priorities. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. The first priority was the teaching of the new believers. The new believers needed to be fed, and they devoted themselves to teaching of the apostles. We are told that, we're not told, actually, where they met, but we read that they were devoting themselves to the teaching of the apostles. Not sure if you've ever been or ever had a chance to have a newborn child in your home. If so, you would have noticed they were devoted to being fed. Think about it. That child, that newborn, it is a priority for him to be fed. If they are not fed, there will be no nourishment. They will not grow. And the baby will kick up such a fuss that no one gets any peace. They can make their need well known to everyone. The Greek word in Acts chapter 2, 42 for devoted here is an intense devotion. The Christians were persevering with all they had to hear the teaching of the apostles. Just like the newborn baby is looking for food with all they have. Just as a baby can't feed themselves and we need to be there to feed them, we need to be there for the new believer to teach them the truths of God's word. It is our responsibility to teach the new to believers so they will grow. If we don't teach them, the new believers could become like those who hear the word and receive it, but unfortunately, because they have not grown, because they have not had any teaching, when testing comes along, they fall away because they have no roots to hold them stable. This is why one of the priorities which the church is that all of us are to teach others the truth of God's word. Paul states in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." We are to allow God's word to dwell in us. It needs to be an integral part of our lives so we can teach and instruct and admonish one another. Paul instructs Timothy to command and teach these things, the word of God. But don't just take Paul's word for it. Jesus stresses the importance of this as we read in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus declared, we are to teach them. We can only teach what we know. Each one of us must learn and study so we can correctly teach God's truth to others. Rodney Smith, better known as Gypsy Smith, was a British evangelist who said, "What makes the difference is not how many times you have been through the Bible, but how many times and how thoroughly the Bible has been through us." See, just reading the Bible through and through and getting nothing out of it will not make any difference. It's how much the Bible gets inside us, how much the Scriptures dwell in our hearts. And then we can teach. We all need teaching. We must allow the words of the Bible to get inside us and saturate our hearts so we can obey it and teach others. We must continually hunger for the Word of God like a newborn baby does for the food and nourishment it needs. As we do, we will be spiritually nourished and grow so we can feed others. Not only does each Christian need teaching, but they also need fellowship. Fellowship was a priority of the church. It was something they devoted themselves to. The Greek word for fellowship in Acts 2, verse 42 is koinonia, which means being a partner or being in close relationship. Casual fellowship is good, but we need more. We need more than just the little chit-chat or just a cup of coffee with one another. The idea here is that we would share ourselves, our lives with others in close relationship with them. That would be there, that we would be there for one another in times of grief and in times of joy. We would be sharing our time, our gifts, be sharing exhortations and encouragements with each other. If Christians don't find this kind of fellowship in the church, they will seek it elsewhere. They might turn to false religions or even to those in the world, but they will find the fellowship they're looking for. You see, this close fellowship, this close relationship we so desperately need and desire, we will find it. So it needs to be there in the church. These close relationships and fellowship helps us through the daily challenges we have. It strengthens us. Let me share about the giant sequoia trees of California. They are huge, and they grow as tall as 120 to 275 feet. One would think that these trees would have a deep root system going down hundreds of feet into the ground to anchor them, but they don't. These trees have a very shallow root system that spreads out just under the ground so they can collect as much water, as much moisture as possible. Seldom will you ever see a sequoia tree standing by itself. And here's the reason. If it is there standing by itself, there's not much hope for it. If a huge wind comes, as the wind will catch the branches and the roots aren't deep enough to withstand the strain of the wind as it batters the top of the tree, and the tree will be uprooted very quickly. That is why you see these sequoia trees, they grow in clusters. Their roots intertwine with one another, making a strong network or partnership or close fellowship with one another. As the roots are interwoven with each tree, one tree supports the other tree. In fact, they all support one another in that cluster as their roots are intertwined. No wonder the writer of Ecclesiastes states, two are better than one, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. We need each other. We need to be intertwined with each other. Our lives need to be that way. Now, I know some, maybe most, maybe all, are thinking that seems so impossible during these times. But the truth is, that's a lie right from the pit of hell. God has provided all we need to stay connected. We have phones, we have FaceTime, texting, emails, and a whole host of ways that we can stay connected. It might not seem ideal, and it isn't. But we can have fellowship and stay connected through the ways God has provided. Let me ask you, Have you connected with somebody this week? Maybe have you connected with somebody that you don't normally connect? Have you intertwined your roots of your faith with somebody else this week? This week, I watched Kathy standing strong with someone who was going through a tough time. No, they didn't get together, but they did it through texting and phone calls. They prayed together, and they were there for each other as they communicated. And this other person was able to stand strong through it. Their roots were intertwined, their roots of faith. We can be the root intertwined with other roots of believers to hold someone as the winds of life blow against them. Maybe we might be the encourager that person needs, or the person to pray with them. These are strange times, and they're difficult. But we must adapt. We can have the victory. Times will continue to change, but our God and Lord remains the same. Some right priorities in our lives need to be teaching and fellowship. And as you read on in Acts chapter 2:42, it also states that they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. Now that breaking of bread here is referring to having communion together. The church not only fellowshiped with one another, but they continually remembered what the Lord had done for them. They remembered how he had sacrificed his life for them by taking communion. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We can hear the teaching and we can fellowship together, but if we don't take time to break the bread, to remember Jesus and what he has done for us, then everything becomes really pointless. This is why, even though we are not able to meet together physically, we still celebrate communion on the first Sunday of every month. It's important. It is a priority of the first church. They were devoted to it. And it is a priority for us as well, and we're devoted to it. Please realize that what you use for communion is not what is important. It does not matter if you have crackers or grape juice. Anything will work. You see, what matters is that those elements, what they represent. The main thing is keeping Jesus at the center of our Christian walk, remembering without him, everything would be for naught. The next and the last priority that the church, that stated here for the church in Acts chapter 2:42, which becomes that priority in the early church, is they devoted themselves to prayer. Unfortunately, prayer is too often the last resort in the Christian's life. You know the sayings. You've heard them far too often. If all else fails, pray. Or, has it come to this? I mean, if things got so bad that we need to pray, I can't handle it any other way. Yet as believers, we are to be devoted to praying. As 1 Thessalonians 5:17 exhorts us to pray continually. A store where I saw a plaque which stated, "Life is fragile. Handle with prayer." Obviously, the early church knew this truth. They knew how fragile life was and how it needed to be bathed in prayer. And so they devoted themselves to prayer. Every believer must know that prayer should never be the last resort, but it needs to be a way of life. It needs to be a staple, as it were, in our Christian walk. It needs to be the priority. Samuel Chadwick, and he's no relative, but he wrote these words: "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless study, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toils, mocks at our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray." Wow. The one concern of the devil is keeping Christians from prayer. Why? Because he trembles when we pray. You say, see, when we are praying, we are inviting Jesus into our situation. And Satan knows that he's no match for Jesus. He's a defeated foe. It is through prayer where we will see great victories. Last Sunday, we were listening to Mark Obessa of Oasis Church in Kamloops. And he said this: "Public victories come from private visits with God. Public victories come from private visits with God." Prayer needs to be a priority in the life of a Christian. We need to have those private visits with God so we'll have those mighty victories. The idea the early church has here is not just praying once about something, but continually praying until something happens. Think of the word push. In fact, think of each letter in that word. P is for pray. U is for until. S is for something, and H is for happens. Pray until something happens. To push through in prayer is being devoted to praying. It's not giving up. Think about the woman who came before the judge in Luke chapter 18. Verses 1 to 8, and the judge didn't fear God and he didn't fear man. Yet the woman continually came before him with her request. And though he didn't fear God or man, he answered her request because of her persistence, because she didn't give up. There was no doubt that prayer was a priority in the early church. Not just private prayer times, but also corporate times of prayer. Again, during these times, we are not able to meet corporately for prayer, but we still have a Friday night prayer event once a month from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It's usually on the third Friday of each month, except for this month. We had it last Friday from 7 to 8. And I just want to thank each one that joined with us. Because we might not be able to meet physically, but we can all join our hearts together from wherever we are. We are praying in one spirit together before the throne of God. As one, we can lift up the needs of our church and community before the Lord. I would also encourage each one to make that Friday night prayer event something that's so relevant in your life. And when we reopen, that you would come on that Friday night and we would see a great group of people praying together for the church and our community. Because prayer needs to be a priority, something we're devoted to. Prayer must be the priority for the church today. These four things, these four priorities are a must in the church, in the Christian's life. When we have our priorities right, then things will begin to happen. Listen to Acts chapter 2 and verse 43 and 44. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Everyone was filled with awe because of the amazing things God was doing in their midst. As they held on to these four priorities, God was doing amazing things in their midst. There were wonders and miraculous signs. And if you read on into verse 47, we read that the Lord added new believers to the church daily. No wonder they were filled with awe. But it all stemmed from the four priorities. They had their priorities right. The church had everything in common. At the end of verse 44, it says they had everything in common. It means that they were all on the same page spiritually. Their hearts were all set on serving and glorifying Jesus. They were all had the same four priorities in their lives. As we keep our priorities right, as we devote ourselves to the teaching and learning of God's Word, as we fellowship and stay connected with one another, as we partake in communion, remembering Jesus is the reason and the center of everything, as we pray, as we're devoted to these things, we will see things happen throughout 2021. I know things are challenging right now, and they're not what we desire, and we would like to change things. But for this time right now, that's the way they are. But God is in control. And God has given us what we need to be able to keep our priorities right through these difficult times. He's right there walking with us. May these priorities become the mainstay for us in our Christian walk and for our church. Not just now, but in the future as well. And we will see amazing things as God reveals himself greatly in our lives and through the church. Let's take time to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Again, we thank you for your teaching. We need your teaching, Lord. We need your teaching because that teaching is a priority in our lives. So Holy Spirit, come and teach us, each one of us individually, in a powerful way. May we learn from you as we open the Word and read it. May it get into our hearts and dwell deeply and richly inside us, so that we can teach others. God, may your Word be a mainstay in the church. Father, we need fellowship, and Lord, we understand that it's a difficult time. Thank you for providing what we need so we can still be connected. May we intertwine the roots of our lives, the roots of our faith, with one another, both now and forever. Father, communion is so important, and in a couple of weeks we're going to do communion again. And Lord, we will always remember that you are the center of it all, of our lives, of the church. You're the head of the church, and we're devoted to remembering. And we're devoted to praying, Lord. Father, we're devoted to praying for our community. We're devoted to pray for our church, for one another, and for ourselves, that we would maintain the priorities so we could watch you give the increase, Lord, so people would be added to the church here in Cache Creek and Ashcroft, Lord. Father, may we see a great swell of new believers. Thank you, Jesus. Be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed week, folks.